Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in St. John chapter 8, reading verses 31 and 32. We read in Jesus' name. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word as a light for our earthly life and to reveal the path to heaven. We pray that you would speak to us through it this morning, dispel our doubts and fears, and defend us from all of the attacks of the evil one, that we would be preserved in our faith till we're finally with you in heaven. Sanctify us then by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, sumo wrestling started to pop up in my Facebook feed. I have no idea why. I've never really watched sumo wrestling. Even, I don't know if my computer heard me telling someone that I had studied Japanese in high school, but even in high school, studying Japanese, I didn't watch sumo wrestling. So boom, there it is in my feed. But it grabbed my interest. And so I actually did a little bit of research on sumo wrestling. Okay, and I think I had the typical understanding of sumo wrestling, right? It's two big fat guys trying to push each other around, okay? But there's actually a lot more to it, okay? It's a very simple sport, and yet those big guys have to be extremely agile. There's a lot of skill and technique that is used. They train. Not just eating, but they train to be better at their sport. But it is quite simple. To win, you either need to push your opponent or throw him out of the ring or get him to fall to the ground. Pretty straightforward. Pushing another big guy out of a ring. Well, today in your text, you're really being presented as a sumo wrestler. Not with regards to your size, but with regards to where you have to stay, to remain somewhere, and not to be pushed away out of it. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him and were believing in him, he said to them, "Remain in my word." Now, why did Jesus have to say that? Isn't that just obvious that we would remain in his word? No, this command of Jesus is telling us that there are forces, there are entities that want to push us out of Jesus' word. They want to drive us away from it and separate us from the life that Jesus gives. So, what is Satan using to try to push you out of the ring, to try to separate you from Jesus' word? Well, I think maybe we would often look at this text, and maybe in your age group we would say, well, sexual sins, that's a definite temptation, and it probably is. But let's not touch that one today. where is the ring? Where is the fight going on in which Satan, the world, and the flesh are trying to push you away from God's word? It's your heart, right? That's really what the war is over. It's over your heart. Do you know there are two commandments, two of the Ten Commandments really explicitly address your heart with regards to covetousness. What you set your heart on can be used by Satan to separate you from God's word. That thing may not be in and of itself evil. But if you set your heart on it, it can easily become an idol. And it can cause you to chase after it as if it is your God. So having goals for our life, wanting to be successful in whatever vocation God gives us, even desiring a spouse and a family, desiring money in a way, setting your heart on it, those things aren't evil of themselves. But if we set them up as idols, if we let them drive the path of our life, then Satan very easily can just give us a nudge and out of the ring we go. So what you set your heart on, the goals you set for your life, they're really important. We want to set them in conformity with God's word. So within the bounds of the ring that God has set up. And we want to pursue those things in godly ways. Well, where does it go from our heart? Once it's taken root there, it comes to the outside. Another way that we get tangled up in sin is our mouth. We will often treat that eighth commandment, the commandment that God has given to protect our reputation and the reputation of our neighbor, very, very lightly. And we will take freedoms in speaking about others in ways that we just should not. We will use our mouths to speak poorly of others. We won't even think it's that big of a deal. We won't put the best construction on it. We won't even just put a kind construction on it. We'll put the absolute worst construction on what someone did and why they did it. And we will assume the absolute worst of them. And then we will share that perception with others. If you don't think that that is Satan wailing on you to get you out of the ring, you have no idea about God's standard for the words that we speak. We are to put the best construction on everything. And if we can't say anything kind, then the general rule is don't say anything at all. And yet we treat our neighbor's reputation as if it is of no value in God's eyes. So we don't even have to get to sexual sins. We can just look at what's going on in our heart and coming out of our mouth to see the evidence that we're in a fight. And that Jesus has given us his word. And that we would remain in that word. So that's from the commandment point of view. But what about the gospel? Don't think that Satan is just attacking you on the basis of God's commandments, how God wants you to live. He is surely attacking you on the basis of the gospel, trying to push you out of the ring. So how does Satan do that? Well, in some ways, a mix of both, law and gospel. We can sometimes set up this paradigm in our head where we can have one foot out of the ring and one foot in. And so we think, well, my foot's in the ring, so I'm still okay. I'll just play with this fire over here, and I still got one foot in. Okay. And so we can dabble in areas that we should not be going. And maybe that's the temptation that we have with regards to sex. That we can dabble in it, and I'm repentant, I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm sorry I did that, and I just come back into the ring. But it's like we want to straddle the fence. That's a dangerous position to be in. Because the risk is you'll fall into the fire and lose the gospel. But there's another great attack that Satan uses on the gospel. And he uses the evidence of our life against us. He convinces us that our sins are great. But he goes one step further, and this is the lie, that your sins are too great. God can't forgive someone like you. God can't forgive a Christian that's done that. And so he holds up the truth of our guilt before us, but then he lies about Jesus. He tries to convince you that Jesus didn't die for you, that your sins aren't covered by his blood, that God can forgive everyone else, but not you. That is a lie. Christ has made full atonement for all of your sins and the sins of the whole world. So in 2 Corinthians, it says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Okay. So if you are in the world, and I think everyone here would have to agree they're in the world, that means God has reconciled you in Christ. He does not count your sins against you. In Romans chapter 3, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. So all have sinned, yes. But that sentence continues, all are redeemed. Jesus has paid for your sins. You are forgiven. And in 1 Timothy, we read that there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. So if you're going to say, well, world is too nebulous, maybe that doesn't mean me. Paul writes to Timothy and says, Christ has given himself as a ransom for all. So that means your sins are forgiven. You are redeemed. So stay in the Word. Stay where Jesus can keep you safe from all of Satan's attacks and tricks. That means read the word daily. Be regular in your chapel attendance and your church attendance. So Satan doesn't sneakily push you out of the ring. May God continue to bless you with his Spirit and strengthen your faith in Jesus so that you know your sins are forgiven and that in the end, you will win the victory and be with Christ forever in heaven. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace, seeking your blessing and forgiveness. We confess that in our fight with Satan, we have often failed. We so easily stumble and fall and get pushed where we shouldn't go. Lord, forgive us. Restore us and draw us ever closer to you. Through your word, continue to pour out your Spirit upon us and strengthen us in our faith. Guard and defend us from all of the attacks of Satan, the world, and our own flesh. Preserve us in our faith until we're finally with you in heaven. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.